Good morning, EC Grace. It's good to be with you again. Even though we're not gathered here together, I still feel one with you in spirit. You know, I'm very excited of the upcoming weeks as we're going to be gathering together. Remember, as we've been saying and in our announcements, that next week we're going to be opening for Sunday morning worship service on the 17th. You're going to see an email come out from us tomorrow detailing the protocols and information that you're going to need with a little bit of history mixed in. I encourage you all to read it and to read through it, and if you have any questions, please contact us. There is one change, however. We are not starting this Wednesday, the 13th, by opening for this Wednesday service. We're going to continue to Zoom this Wednesday. Our first day open will be Sunday, the 17th. As you see, I'm standing here at the entryway to the sanctuary. I'm very excited that we're going to be here next week gathering together, singing, praising the Lord, and going to Him in worship as we come together and close out the Blessed Life series. However, today's a very special day. Today is Mother's Day, a day to celebrate our moms, whether here or whether our moms have gone to glory. Either way, may we be thankful for her and realize her value and her importance, and also realize the value and importance our mothers had in our lives. We should be grateful to the Lord for such rich blessings that He brings to us through our mothers. Such a rich blessing in my life to have had my mother. I'm thankful for her. I want to say thank you, Mom. I wish I could tell her that again. But your mothers, thank them, appreciate them, love them. Husbands, may you be reminded of the blessing that God has given you in your wife, and recognize your wife's worth in your life, also as she is the mother to your children. To you younger people, whether prepping for motherhood or playing with baby dolls if you're very little, or you young married women, may you realize as motherhood may be in your future, the wonderful gift it is from the Lord, as you too one day may be mothers. And may you understand the valuable role you will have to play in the future life of an unborn child. Mother's Day is a very special day that we recognize her. No matter who you are or whatever your circumstances today, we all can celebrate Mother's Day today before the Lord Jesus Christ and thank Him. Proverbs 31:28 says, "Her children arise and call her blessed." But it goes on to also say, her husband also, and even more, he praises her. Husbands, praise your wives today as mothers of your children. Children, praise your mother today and call her blessed. Treat her with honor, treat her with respect, not only today, but every day. So praise and honor your mom today. And praise and honor your wife today. And then praise and honor the Lord for His gift to you through His grace. It is a gift of grace. Today, though, we are going to continue in our Blessed Life series. And we are going to close this series, as I've been telling you, next week as we gather here together. As Jesus brings His Sermon on the Mount to a close, He ends His major teaching with a call to pray. What follows from this call to prayer will be an application where Jesus will set forth a rule to live by, a choice to make, and a foundation to build on. Today we are going to look at our Lord's call to pray in Matthew chapter 7. And I'm confident that if we pray this way, we will be the best mothers, the best fathers, the best children, the best husbands and wives and singles that we can be as the family and body of Christ, how the Lord wants us to live our lives. Earlier in the Blessed Life series, we had a mini series, if you remember, on the Lord's Prayer to us. which was the model prayer or the pattern of prayer as we communicate words of quality to the Lord, words that the Lord looked at our heart. Here we're going to see further words of quality that cover the entire Sermon on the Mount that falls within the same pattern. Basically, I want your will, Lord, in my life. So please, this morning, you can either turn with me to Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, or follow along here on your screen. The Lord says here, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" There we have it. This passage has been misinterpreted in so many ways, and we want to look at today to find the truth of the Lord's words. Have you ever heard someone say, "What is it about no that you do not understand?" You tell someone, "No, I don't understand." What is it about no you do not understand? Meaning that that word, no, carries with it no question as to the will of the one who said it. Meaning the person who said it is amazed that you don't understand its meaning. I kind of feel this way about this section on prayer. We're going to see that Jesus is abundantly clear in what he is saying when it comes to prayer, and we need to understand that. There should be no question as to his will for us when it comes to what he is telling us in these verses. So let's look at it again, starting with verse 7 and 8. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Everyone receives. He who seeks finds. He who knocks it will be opened. We see further in verse 11, Jesus wants us to pray to our Father who is in heaven. And he opens up with the word ask in verse 7. And he closes in verse 11 with ask him. In fact, Jesus uses this word ask 5 times in these 5 verses. Furthermore, we see Jesus tells us to be persistent and constant in our asking, as seen in the words ask, seek, knock. What are they? They're present participles in verse 8, meaning to stay at it, keep persisting, continuing. Then, to encourage us to pray this way, Jesus does something. He promises that if we ask and if we keep on asking, we will find, we will receive, and it will be opened. These are promises. In other words, "I promise you," said Jesus, "that what you ask for will be given to you. Your prayers will be answered." Then, to further conquer our unbelief and encourage us to ask and to encourage us to expect answers, Jesus now goes to even greater lengths to drive his point home. He starts by giving us a parable of two fathers, those on earth and our Father in heaven. Look at verses 9 and 11. "Or what man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he?" I mean, is there a man that is a father who, when his son asks for a loaf, which is the same word translated as bread in the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer to us, would give his child a stone, if he asked for a fish, would he give him a snake? If a stone would be useless in feeding him, a snake would positively be harmful. The grammar here is put in such a way that it expects of us a negative answer. You're supposed to be shaking your head here and saying, no father would do that. And saying, I can't imagine that would happen. That's what the Lord expects in a response from us. So here comes the lesson. Look at verse 11. So if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. What he means here by evil, Jesus is simply referring to the fact that fathers are in their fallen natures, that they're prone to sin and failure. He is not talking about specific fathers who are evil in the treatment of their children, or fathers who are unloving, uncaring, and evil, and even cruel to their children, even though sadly, that is often the case. And the children of such fathers must do something. They must overcome the tendency they have to view their heavenly father in terms of comparing them to their heavenly father. Jesus is saying that even weak, fallible, and sinful human fathers, even they know how the word means to discern and to understand, to give good gifts to their children they love and the children they care for. He says, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? How much more will your Father in heaven, who is holy, who is infallible, who is omniscient, know how to give you what is genuinely good for you? Here Jesus speaks to the highest common denominator, the earthly father who gives good gifts to his children. And how much greater God the Father is from what we may consider to be one of the best earthly fathers, an earthly father who is fallible. Therefore, let me encourage you today, those of you who have had a poor father or a terrible father, then how much more is God better than him? So by going to the highest common denominator of earthly fathers, it automatically includes all those bad dads out there, earthly fathers, who are lesser than the father who gives good gifts, even though that father is fallible. Therefore, no matter who your father is or how he has fathered you, your heavenly father is in a category all of his own. He is the best, he is the perfect father to you, his child. Our Father in heaven, he loves like no earthly father can. He knows you like no earthly father can know you. We're told in Scripture, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Psalms 139, 1 through 3. Our Father in heaven knows your future like no earthly father can. It says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Psalm 139, 16. You know, as one commentator put it, God is too wise to err, too good to be unkind. You know, as a side note, this may sound a lot like Father's Day, right? Rather than Mother's Day. But in fact, as God compares earthly fathers, it can also include the idea of parents. Did you know something? That in the Old Testament, God compares his care for us to that of a nursing mother, Isaiah 49, 15. Or to a mother bear in Hosea 13, 8. And a mother eagle in Deuteronomy 32. The bottom line is this. The best mothers and the best dads cannot even be compared to the love and care of our Father in heaven. In summary of this, we're to ask persistently, and I promise you, your Father in heaven who loves you like no earthly father or parent will give you what you ask for. Now, can you hear Jesus saying, what is it about this that you do not understand? Well, right now, a lot of hands may be flying up, perhaps even yours. Right about now, a lot of false teaching even happens. Lord, do you mean I can ask for anything I want and I will get it? Are there any conditions for asking? After all, even human parents who care for their children and want what is good for them do not give them everything they ask for or anything they ask for. And you know what? We know that is true of our Heavenly Father as well. There are those times when He does not give us what we ask for in our limited understanding. And I am very grateful for Him, to Him for that. Looking back over my life, I have seen where I have asked God for things that now I am so thankful He did not grant. You know, I may have told you this story once, but if I haven't, please follow along. If I have, listen again. It's hilarious. You know, one time when Claire was a little girl, her cousin Leah broke her arm. Leah came to church with her cast on, and all kinds of people in her class and friends had signed all over her cast. This made Claire want to have a cast as well. So we got home, and Claire didn't want a broken arm. Claire came to me, and she asked me this question. She said, Daddy, will you break my leg? I want to get a cast. This question persisted for weeks, and I first thought it was funny. Until one night, Claire came into my bedroom. I'm lounging on the bed. She gets up at the bottom of the bed, and she did something. She handed me a hammer and she said, Daddy, can you break my leg now? Well, I had had enough of this and I told her no. No, I will not break your leg. And told her why. She immediately began to cry huge tears. She was so disappointed. What this little girl did not know is what I knew. I knew that would have been the worst thing I could have ever done for her. She had her eye on the cast and all the attention she would receive with no idea of the trauma and pain that would cause. I guarantee you now, after speaking with Claire, we were laughing about this. Now that she's 18, looking back on that, she's very thankful I said no. And she now understands fully that she erred in her request. Do you remember what God said to Paul? He said no when he asked him to remove the thorn in his flesh. He told Moses no, and many others no. Sometimes God gives us a different and better answer than we could ask for. But is that the case here in the context? Shall we start stripping away and watering down our Lord's promises here in these verses? The certainty that what we ask for, we will receive? Should we start stripping that away? Start watering that down? Start attaching disclaimers to it? The answer is no. Therefore, we must understand the context. What is the context? This is not a standalone teaching on prayer. It is our Lord's conclusion to all His teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, beginning back in chapter 5. Ask and it will be given to you. What is the unnamed it will be given to you that will certainly be given? I believe without doubt Jesus is referring to those spiritual characteristics that he has just taught that describe the true kingdom citizen. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, what have we seen? We have seen that Jesus is calling us to live differently than the unbelieving, lost world in which we live in. And not just differently, but radically different than all the wisdom of the world. We saw that especially brought out in the sermon in this series called Deep Water Living. What has become very obvious is that it is what? When you see all that we've talked about, it's truly obvious that it is humanly impossible to live as Jesus calls us to live in our own strength. But we can when we ask God for his strength. We can live in the way he's called us. We can have the characteristics and qualities that he says a true kingdom citizen lives by, with his help and his strength. No wonder Jesus says to ask as he concludes his teaching on true kingdom citizens. Here is God's means for achieving what is otherwise impossible. Think about this. Jesus says there are evil persons in the world in 5:39. He says there is evil in the world in general in chapter 6:13. He says that there is the evil one in chapter 6:13 as well. And finally, that you and I are evil, chapter 7, verse 11. Even as believers, we have a sin nature that oftentimes resists God's will in our lives and is very prone to sin. Though our spirits are willing, what is it? Our flesh is weak. The characteristics Jesus demands of us to live the blessed life will run contrary to the world, contrary to the devil, and contrary to our sin natures. What have we just done together over the past 5 or 6 months? We've just had 27 messages on the Sermon on the Mount describing the blessed life, and we still have one more to go. Each one of those messages describing the character traits and qualities of how Jesus expects us to live. Let me ask you something. Can you remember all 27 messages? Do you know everything that's been said in the last 27 messages? And even in those messages, we can't cover it all. Therefore, how we need to be praying for God's strength to live as Jesus has outlined for his followers in his Sermon on the Mount. I mean, if we're ever to be salt and light in the world and know the fullness of the blessed life, we need to be asking for God to give us the strength to possess what he's given us. This type of praying Jesus is speaking of comes from a person where their heart wants what Jesus wants them to be. I want to challenge us today to pray and ask our Father in heaven to strengthen us to be what Jesus calls us to be here in the Sermon on the Mount. So ask your Father in heaven to give you the attitude of the Beatitudes, 5:1-10. To be humble, to be merciful, to mourn over sin, to long for purity, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be that peacemaker. Ask your Father in heaven to give you the heart and strength to keep and to teach every single word of his word, every jot, every tittle, chapter 5:17-20. Ask your Father in heaven to give you a heart Christianity, no surface religion, no hypocrisy, chapter 5:20-28. You may remember this hymn, but there's a hymn we do not sing much anymore. It's called, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian. This is not a hymn about becoming a Christian, but becoming the Christian that Jesus wants and that the world must see if we're to be his lights, if we're to be his salt, It says, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, Lord. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart, Lord. Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart, Lord. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart, Lord. And we've seen throughout the Sermon on the Mount, that's where it originates. That's where it flows from. The heart. What does the heart want? What does the heart desire? Ask your Father in heaven to give you a second mile love, that love even for your enemies in 5:38 through 48. Ask your Father in heaven to give you the strength to live, to please Him, exalt His name, and do His will. Chapter 6, 1 through 4 and 8 through 9. You know, in Matthew 4, 8, it says, the devil took Jesus, you remember, to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, all their glory, and said to him this, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You know, the devil is making that same appeal today to all the Lord's followers, still even as we speak. So ask your Father in heaven to deliver you from the pull of this passing world and its glory and treasures. Chapter 6, 19 through 20. Ask your Father in heaven to give you the wisdom and the strength to put His kingdom first in your life and in your heart. Chapter 6, 33. You know, David prayed, teach me your way, O Lord. Unite my heart to fear your name, to walk in your truth, Psalm 86, 11. So we should ask your Father in heaven for the wisdom to judge humbly and honestly, chapter 7, 3 and 6. Ask your Father in heaven to clearly see your hear do, to hear what He says and then do what He says, chapter 7, 24 through 28. You see, it is these things that are God's will for you. Ask these things and you will receive them. We're told this in 1 John 5, 14 through 15, because I want to clear some things up. We're told this. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from Him. These verses will confuse you if you think the promise of receiving what you ask for is contingent upon you always knowing God's will for you when you pray. Sometimes we do not know for certain what God's will is for us in every situation we may find ourselves in. There are some things we ask for that we're just not certain about, whether they are God's will for us or not. Lord, shall I move? Lord, shall I change jobs? Lord, shall I accept this offer? Just a few nights ago, the board was here from 6 p.m. to almost 11:15 at night, mulling over and praying over decisions that we were praying for His discernment and wisdom. And many of those we struggled with in wanting to know the will of the Lord. You see, the promise is this in 1 John 5. Pray your heart, ask big, ask anything that is not obviously against His word and will, and if it is according to God's will for you, you will have it. There is nothing that can hinder what God wills for you to have. Can you trust Him as your Heavenly Father to know how to give only what is good, even if the answer is no? The truth is, prayer is not a means of persuading a reluctant God to do something against His better judgment. If it is His will, we will have what we request of Him. Prayer is about aligning our will with His. Prayer is God's appointed means to receive what is best for us and for others and to realize God's perfect will in our lives. Romans 12:2. But on the other hand, there are those things we know definitely are God's will for us when we go to Him in prayer, that He has already told us in His Word are God's will for us. And here and that is the context of Matthew 7:7-11, compared to 1 John. I am certain, for example, that I am asking according to God's will when I pray for the character of the Beatitudes in my life. So Jesus says, let's keep on asking. Each and every day we have to renew our minds. Each and every day we're battling sin. Each and every day we're battling the evil one. We're battling evil in the world, and we're battling our sin natures. And we have to continue to ask Him to impart these things in us. And ask in specific situations. Ask as a habit of your life, and you will receive more and more of His life-transforming grace. A grace that will conform you more and more to the image of Christ and usher in the blessed life, the happy life. When we get to heaven, we will not need to ask any of these things. But until we get there, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, because your heart so desires to have what Jesus says are the qualities and character traits of the kingdom citizen, that you want nothing more than to please Jesus, pursue Jesus, be like Jesus, and be Him to others, and pursue a deep, meaningful relationship with Him. Why? Because you love Him. D.A. Carson said, far too often Christians do not have the marks of richly textured discipleship because they do not ask, or they ask with selfish motives. One reason we do not ask for the true Sermon on the Mount, blessed life qualities, is because our hearts do not desire them above all else. So let's ask for a true heart that pursues all things Jesus Christ. I'm challenging you to pray through the Sermon on the Mount, as that might have so that you may have the marks of richly textured discipleship. The world, my friends, has seen enough of poor examples. I pray, Lord, don't let me be a poor example. Let me be your example to the world. So open your Bible. Write down areas in the Sermon on the Mount that you know you want to see and should see in your life. Areas you may see you're struggling in. Areas you may see you need to excel still more. And ask your Heavenly Father for them with a true heart. You will soon see that when you pray as you should, you will begin to live as you should. When we pray for the things of the Lord, for His will for us, our hearts start becoming aligned with His, and He ushers in richly and swiftly with His grace to grant those requests. So don't say, I don't have time for prayer. That's like your car saying, I don't have time to stop for gas. We need to make time to be in prayer. Make time to be in His Word. Don't say, I don't need prayer. When we don't pray or pray much, that is what we are saying, whether we say it out loud or not. That's like the soldier saying, I don't need my weapon, Ephesians 6:18. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. Your Father in heaven right now, my friends, waits to rain down showers of blessings when you ask for His will, when you ask for the things that He wants for you, as we see here in the Sermon on the Mount. And when you ask those things with sincerity, and when you ask for those things, you will find them. You will receive them. You will be living the blessed and happy life, being used in the hands and plans of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope that you've been blessed today, that you know that you can have all these things, that you can excel in them, that you can walk with the Lord in them, that He will give you the strength and the power to possess them, that you can be the kingdom citizen that lives with these qualities in you and has these characteristics in how you live before the Lord privately and outwardly, as you are the light of the world and His salt in the earth, as you are a city on the hill as part of the body of Jesus Christ. I look forward to being here next week as we close out this series, as we look at a few important things to remember. Until then, EC Grace, keep praying for one another, be in the Word, and pray these things in your life. You will be richly blessed, and the Lord will be deeply pleased. God bless you, EC Grace. Have a great day.